Tuesday, July 1st at 8 a.m. This is a safety committee meeting. Our purpose here today is to talk about the Chapter 505.08 nuisance conditions prohibited. It's about the cat issue that we've been addressing. Present tonight, today are committee members Mary Westfall, Mike Brown, Doug Hanem, Todd Milner, also other council members joining us, Katie Capellini and Mark Lutke, as well as our law director Leslie Brining and economic director, development director Bill Sanford. We do have a couple of community people present as well. I did, something went out last night with an initial suggestion for legislation. Just as a kind of a quick recap, we have had a couple of meetings on this topic. Most recently, we took public comment on June 2nd. We've taken into consideration that public comment so that we could try to come up with a recommendation that would be reasonable. Our focus at this point in time is to put in place legislation that would be sensitive to the greater community, the public health issues of the greater community, and that would be something that could certainly be sustainable over a long period of time. The legislation that we've presented today, you should have received last night, and it's nothing formal. It's actually informal. It's open for discussion today. But certainly it does not suggest that we do not support the neuter program, the trap neuter release program, or Humane Ohio, or any other community citizens engaging in a trap neuter release program. But it does suggest that we need to take some action in terms of the feeding issue around the cats. So with that, I'm going to let Leslie, the law director, maybe provide some feedback, and then perhaps committee members would like to offer some comments. I don't know if there's anything specific that you think would be significant.
Sure, I can just walk through the proposed legislation that is. Mrs. Westfall indicated is really just for discussion. We just tried to put something together to have something to work from. And I worked with Mr. Hanem on this as well. The 505.08, I think I'll just focus maybe on the penalty provisions and just explain subsection C. So what it says is whoever violates the section is guilty of a minor misdemeanor for the first offense. The penalty or potential penalty for a minor misdemeanor, no jail time, $150 fine. The fourth degree misdemeanor would be for the second offense, and that does carry jail as a possibility for the sentence up to 30 days, and a fine of up to $250. A third degree misdemeanor would be for the third offense, and one thought that I had is maybe we don't have a timeline on these, and that might be something that you would want to consider having, you know, is this four offenses in your life or within a period of a year? You know, I don't know if that matters, but certainly if it's if your violations are 2 years apart, do you really want to have that count as a second offense or not? That's just maybe something for you to consider. Sorry about that. And then for the second degree misdemeanor, the penalty is up to 90 days in jail, fine of up to $750, and that would be for the fourth or subsequent offense. And the third degree misdemeanor penalty would be jail up to 60 days, fine of up to $500, and that's for the third offense. And those are all just potentials. Mm-hmm. It's not automatic. The judge certainly has discretion.
Would allow for prosecution should the prosecutor want to do that or right. The judge make that
correct.
Determination.
Correct.
Okay.
Other than that, the subsections A and B, A is parts of A are almost was identical to what we have in our code right now. And the current penalty provision is that they are just minor misdemeanors. It doesn't have the increase penalties for the subsequent offenses. So I think subsection A, a person shall be presumed to be the keeper or harbor of an animal if you do or permit any of the following. One, knowingly or recklessly feed the animal food or water. Two, knowingly allow any animal to remain on your property more than 24 hours. And I think this part is key to what I've heard from my prosecutor's office, is that they feel it's hard to define a keeper, owner, or harborer if somebody isn't claiming ownership of the animal. And the stray animals, that's by definition, they have no owner. So I think that having these two subsections, one and two, would definitely enable the prosecutor's office to actually prosecute any charges that were, that people were wanting to be filed. And I think, too, the thought that we just had at the administrative level is, but certainly we're open, that this would probably be enforced similar to how our zoning code is enforced, kind of complaint-driven, not really out there citing people for it.
Would this prohibit Humane Ohio coming in?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all.
Well, the important thing about A is it's the active portion of this is that no one will keep or harbor an animal so as to create noxious or offensive odors or unsanitary conditions which are a menace to the health, comfort, or safety of the public. So in order to prosecute anyone for violation of this, we have to prove a menace to the health, comfort, or safety of the public. You know, so if someone is keeping or harboring animals that are creating a community health problem, that's what the crime here is. And what this clarifies is what it means to keep or harbor an animal, because there was some, it felt that the prosecutors felt it was unclear what it meant to keep or harbor an animal, and this clarifies that it means when you feed the animal or keep it in your yard for an extended period, then you are deemed to be keeping or harboring the animal. So again, the key part here is you're keeping an animal that's creating a public health and safety problem.
Okay, Mary, could I ask a hypothetical about that there? So in a case that was brought up, I think during our last comment period, if somebody is feeding the squirrels in their backyard, and those squirrels come in and eat some corn and scamper off back into the woods or the park or whatever, that would be not necessarily considered a safety hazard.
I don't think there's, in that situation, there's a menace to health, comfort, or safety of the public.
All right, so a lot of the wild, small wildlife that we have in some parts of the city, I think another woman talked about feeding raccoons, okay? Mm-hmm. Well, if the raccoon goes back where they go, wherever raccoons live, again, they're back in their natural habitat, right, mm-hmm. as opposed to hanging out in the backyard waiting for the next handout of mm-hmm. corn. Okay.
I think that's what
I need to understand that as part of this.
The trigger here is the creation of noxious or offensive odors or unsanitary conditions which are a menace to the health, comfort, or safety of the public. Mm-hmm. Someone who's who has one of those corn things in their backyard that a squirrel occasionally eats on isn't creating that situation, so that doesn't trigger that situation.
I wonder if you would help, again, I know I've talked about this a couple times, but just so that you can share your thoughts on number two, A2, knowingly allows any animal to remain upon his or her property more than 24 hours. Again, I've had a little concern about the word allows.
Yeah. The active word there is allows.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I mean, the fact that the issue is whether you are knowingly,
encouraging, allowing. Encourage.
Yeah, it's more than just having a squirrel in your backyard.
Would you be opposed to the language of knowingly encourages any animal versus allows?
Yeah, I am much more interested in the first one.
I do know that.
Than the second. I think this knowing allows one, Leslie, is one that we got from.
Yeah.
Where
Twinsburg.
From Twinsburg. Yeah, that's out of the Twinsburg
right.
statute.
Right. So I think it's
My only concern there is if there's a stray cat that's not left somebody's yard, but they're not doing anything that's encouraging it to stay, do they have liability of some sort there? They made a nest or had a baby or whatever. I don't know what that would be.
I think the thought here, from talking to people in Twinsburg, was that the situation where someone built a shelter for a stray animal, and that's what they were trying to get at in this second issue.
Why don't we put knowingly allows or encourages?
And or
encourages.
Yeah, that might be better.
The point of all of this, though, is that it doesn't force our police officers to decide, right?
Right.
It allows them to send it off to a judge and the prosecutors to decide.
Okay.
The prosecutors theoretically would make a judgment about whether they would take it to the judge if it's prosecutable, and then the judge ultimately would decide. So we are, I mean, I think part of the piece here is to give our law enforcement officials the tools to do their job, which is kind of on the front lines, and then let the process proceed, right? This is not going to create a police state against animals.
I think that's right. And again, I think, as Mrs. Brining indicated, this is really going to be a complaint-driven ordinance.
Yeah.
So if we stretch Mark's hypothetical a little bit further, and somebody feeds one cat, and then they get it fixed, and they're still feeding one cat, and it hasn't created the noxious odors and the public health hazard.
Is that a pet then?
Well, they're not creating the noxious odors, and then if they take ownership of the cat, that's a different
right
issue.
And then it's, so if somebody adopts a stray cat and they're then we're good.
I think that's right.
Right.
Then it's, I mean, as long as it's not a public health hazard, they're okay.
Or they take ownership of the, or they take ownership of the animal.
Right.
Okay.
They take ownership of it, they still can't create a hazard to the community.
Right.
They have to be responsible owners.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like Doug said, to me, everything goes back to A.
The public health hazard.
Yeah, right. Creating noxious, offensive odors or unsanitary conditions, which are a menace to the health, comfort, or safety of the public.
You know, somewhere in the last month, somebody sent us pictures of like six cats in the backyard. Where did that?
Cats.
Yeah, that pretty clearly is different than somebody adopting a single cat, right?
I think those were stray cats in a yard. That was somebody who sent us a picture saying, these are the stray cats that are in our yard.
Yeah, I was having trouble understanding the
and attacking the other little animals in our yard kind of a message.
Mm-hmm.
They just were saying, showing what the feral cat issue looked like in that particular yard.
Well, a good example of that is one of the property owners had a storage shed in their backyard that the animals got in, and by this spring they had to tear it down because it was full of feces, urine, all the lawn furniture was torn up and everything. So, you know, they lost a lot of property because of the animals getting into the shed over the winter. So we need to protect against that.
So, again, our goal is to make a determination about whether we feel this is a recommendation that we're ready to advance to council. I think I heard a suggestion of a change in A2 to read knowingly allows and or encourages any animal to remain upon his or her property more than 24 hours. Is there a motion or further discussion?
Well, I'd like to raise a point. I support this as part of a solution to the challenge that any community might have. Because as I've read all the data about this, it seems to me like addressing the problem is not an either-or proposition. right? This unto itself is not going to solve the problem of stray cats or aggregations of wild animals or wildlife in a yard. But I'm not necessarily confident that the spay-neuter-release program in and of itself provides any lasting long-term solution either, mm-hmm. right? I mean, you may, for a period of years, have a bunch of spayed and neutered cats running around mm-hmm. providing a nuisance. So I guess my intention would be, at council at least, and I say this, I guess, just so the committee members know where I'm coming from, that as a companion piece of legislation to this, or as amendment to this, I would ask the administration to engage with some animal group to create a ongoing trap, spay, neuter, release program in the community. I've had conversations, and I think we've all had communication with the folks from the Humane Society of the United States, mm-hmm. John Dinan, who works here in the local community. And he has had some good success with volunteer-driven programs that don't put a burden on the taxpayers, but in fact are coordinated by a professional, a paid professional, whose salary is paid through grants, and he's offered to work with us to secure some of those grants and to enlist the interested volunteers. And clearly this community has a significant number of folks who really are animal rights, animal care kinds of people. And so, you know, the idea would be to enlist some of those, because he makes the point that you can't have somebody drop into a community, into a neighborhood once a week and try to round up all these cats. Mm-hmm. It's got to be almost an ongoing day-to-day kind of a situation, right? And so that requires a volunteer force. So the point is, Mary, that I think unless the administration is willing to embrace that as well, recognizing that there might be a small amount but not a significant amount of financial involvement with it, I'm not sure that unto itself and this all by itself is going to work. So I'm looking for something that's going to work.
I'm a little concerned about, not concerned, but I want to make sure I clearly understand what you're saying. You said ask the administration to engage with some animal groups.
Yeah, we can't do that.
Versus to research the options. And I don't know right now that we understand fully the implications of cost associated, so I think what we want to have them do is do some research.
Well, engage with implied discussion.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
And, you know, I suppose we legitimately come back with a recommendation in a timely fashion.
I just want to make sure that that...
Mr. Dinan offered to be here today. I didn't think this was the appropriate venue for him to talk, but he is planning on being with us at our meeting in July.
That'd be great.
So he would be able to answer any questions. And again, I'm not necessarily suggesting that we roll this up today as part of a recommendation, mm-hmm. but just...
recommendation going forward.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Pat, did I interrupt you? Okay. I know we do have a few people here in the audience joining us, so before we actually go to formal motion, we might take a few minutes of comment. I would ask that if there's anybody here that would like to speak that has not had any opportunity to speak or has something new to share, that they would please feel free to step forward. But again, we'll hold comments to... If you would mind helping me time, hold comments to 2 minutes, because this is really a committee meeting, not a public hearing, although I do want to have the opportunity for people to make a comment if you'd like. Can you let me know then if there's a... Maybe I know this.
Yeah,
why don't we let the people who haven't spoken speak first? Yes, and please, and give us your name and your where you live. Are you a Savannah resident?
I'm not until 3 years ago. So I grew up in the community. My name is Vanessa Wright. My address is 2208 Kenwood, apartment number 10, and that would be Toledo, Ohio 43606.
Okay.
I am extremely active in the trap, neuter, and release program at Humane Ohio. I am actually strictly a volunteer. I actually did start a petition online for just to make the other Sylvania residents aware of the situation. I agree with, I'm sorry, I don't know your name, sir.
Mark Lukey.
Mark Lukey?
Yeah.
When he says that, you know, there, to be quite frank with you, there's no immediate solution to this. Mm-hmm. My personal opinion and the research that I've done and also the work that I've done as well in the community, specifically Sylvania, I actually do this in my free time where I go out and I trap and fix them at Humane Ohio. This has been caused by humans. This is an ongoing problem. And right now in Detroit, there's 50,000 roaming dogs. That's it. That's due to people abandoning their animals and mostly not staying and neutering their animals. There is not going to be an immediate result. There are ways that are not 100%, they're not going to fix everything, but there are ways to deter animals from your property. I find it hard to believe, being so active in this work, that it can completely destroy a piece of your property unless you do not find options and just let them take over. I find that very hard to believe. If you look at the numbers from just the small amount of work that we have done in Sylvania, meaning the trap, neuter, and release program, actually the numbers have gone down. So I would just really, really, really encourage you to look at a hands-on option, because I said right now in Detroit, they're actually going around and capturing and putting these animals down, and it's not working.
Thank you, Vanessa. Thank you for your comments, and certainly as I think we opened saying, and I think you've heard from council, we are not in any way discouraging the trap and neuter release program. We would encourage you to continue to make efforts in that regard.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, I'm Peter Nera in 4310 Bella Vista, Toledo, Ohio, 43612. And I've been calling the city of Toledo for 2 years to enforce, now I find out that it's illegal to feed the feral cats, and you're supposed to keep a tag on your cats, and if you're a harbor and keeper of cats, you're supposed to keep them on a leash on your property. The problem is when the people feed the cat next door, the lady next door feeds the cats, I learned a lot about cats in the past 2 years. They don't do their business in their yard or where they sleep, not even in front of my house where they sleep and lounge. They go in the back of my yard. So what the law is allowing now is for her to be the boss of my yard. I shouldn't have to spend a dime to discourage those cats to come in my yard. You're not supposed to feed the feral cats. It's in the code. I couldn't find any code, but the letter from Mayor Collins' office says, the health department says it's illegal to feed the feral cats. That should be good enough. It should be handled like a ticket for a, like a speeding ticket. The police goes out there, sees it, you do it again, take all the paraphernalia out of there, and give her a ticket. That's the only way they're gonna learn. Because they're making the people be the bully, the boss of my yard. If they're feeding them in her yard, it's not a problem. The problem is they come into my yard. We got three people in the neighborhood doing that. People live in the neighborhood. You're not supposed to attract animals into the neighborhood. The spay, neuter, and release, she's done that, but the seven cats are still there, and they're doing their job in my backyard, and I can't go in the backyard to work. And then my mother passed away. I have the house. She tells me, well, you go stay in your other house out of there and get out of here and sell the house. That's how mean the people are that are so possessed and obsessed with these outdoor animals. Now, she has eight animals in the house, or seven. That's not enough. Sylvania and Maumee and Perrysburg, they have an animal control officer, and I talked to both of those guys. Said, we don't want to get involved with Toledo because they don't do nothing about us. They do something else. They come pick up the cats, bring them to Humane Society, they pay for 3 days, and after that, they don't care what they do with them. And problem solved. And Toledo has the codes, but we don't have the animal control officer. We got just a dog pound. We don't do cats.
Thank you for your
thank
comments.
You. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
I'm Wheeler for 626 Woodland Lane. As you know, I'm in the middle of this. First of all, I'd like to correct a misinformation that was given to you all. The question of the shed that had to be tore down Kathy Wilson asked my husband 2 years ago to come and get a live animal trap out of that. It was full of raccoons who had chewed through the floor of it and destroyed everything in it. They are now blaming that on the cats, so I'm sorry, but it was the raccoons. Second of all, my good neighbor, Sheila Albert, who is also a friend of Francis Camarotes, the stray cats live under her deck. She's a senior citizen. Does that mean she's harboring these cats? Is she going to be fined and hauled into court? That's a question somebody needs to be addressing here. Second of all, you all know I adopted two stray cats. My daughter-in-law has asthma very bad, and I can't have them in my house. So I feed them. I bring them into my kitchen now and feed them because of the constant harassment I am receiving, and it's still going on. I know I have two broken windows in my house. Thank you very much. So because I put water out, yeah, please come and look. I've invited you all to come to my home. I put water out for my cats during the day. It's awfully hot out there. So am I harboring another animal because I put water out? Another point is, how do you keep animals out of your yard? Do I have to sit out there with a shotgun and shoot anything that comes into my yard? How do you do that? Also, as far as cats eating other animals, that's their natural diet. If no one is trapping them and finding them homes, no one is feeding them regular food, that's their natural diet. They go out, they catch birds, they eat rodents, which, by the way, we used to have a million rodents in our neighborhood before the stray cats arrived. I was on vacation for 9 days. My family was on vacation for 9 days. We came home, guess what? Those cats are still there. They didn't leave. They're eating the wildlife. How do you control that? Am I going to be cited because they're eating wildlife? There's a lot of questions here that somebody really needs to answer. I understand that I'm going to be your test case as far as prosecution. I understand that. I've invited you all. Please come to my property. If I'm doing something wrong, tell me. Show it to me. I do not provide homes for these cats. I don't have any outbuildings. I have no porch. I have nothing for them to hide under. And yet, all of this has been based on the fact that those people, I helped them up until they stole a cat, and they stole money from me, and this has turned into a personal vendetta. And I'm really sorry to see that you're going to be legislating this based on personal vendettas and outright lies and misinformation. Please go check on the shed, too, because that's not true. Thank you.
Good morning. Dave Spies, 4419 Todd Drive, Savannah, Ohio, 43560. As I stated a couple weeks ago, I believe that considering passing this legislation would be premature. And my suspicions are, as she indicated, there's some personality issues and some conflict in that neighborhood. And as Vanessa indicated, I am more than willing to volunteer. And candidly, that would include going over there once or twice a week and picking up cat feces. I have two dogs in my backyard. I pick up dog poop consistently. At the same time, I also volunteer to maybe be an intermediary between the two parties involved, and will continue to work with the trap, neuter, and release program. I think you also need to be very careful if you do consider and pass legislation to specifically identify the difference of feral cats and stray cats. I've heard stray cats used in this terminology. Stray cats are probably domesticated cats that were in some way, shape, or form turned out, lost their home, got lost, whatever it might be. They can be captured and domesticated and brought back in no house. Whereas feral cats, it's virtually if they've been out on the streets and on their own for an extended period of time, whether it's 3 or 6 months, they are truly feral, and the likelihood of them becoming a domesticated house cat is pretty slim. The other thing that I would like to point out, Leslie used the term, this will be complaint driven. The reality is neighbors are going to have to become tattletales on each other. I would also encourage you, if you are going to consider and try to enforce this legislation, you also attempt to enforce some of the legislation that is currently on the books. And specifically, I have a neighbor who has not shoveled his walk in 5 years. 5 years. Second of all, with the harsh winter that we have, you drive around our respective neighborhoods, and a week after a significant snowfall, you still see the same car with the snow path around it, and the snow still sitting on the car. And if you're going to ask your police officers now to issue a citation, my one recommendation is you create a pad of hangers or placards that if the police officers do see one of those in violation, they can peel it off, go up, hang it on the door, and that way the resident gets on notice that an infraction has been noted, and if they don't take corrective action, then a citation will be issued. So my point is, you have some legislation already on the books that is next impossible and certainly doesn't appear to me being legislated. And I think we have enough societal issues going on without neighborhoods becoming tattletales and then trying to determine, is it noxious, is it being unsafe, is it providing a public nuisance, et cetera. There's a very fine gray line there. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Any comments or recommendations from the committee members?
I would agree. You know, I just want to comment on Mark's comments, and I think you're right. This isn't this isn't going to make the cat issue go away. But I also don't think we have the resources to address this as aggressively as we would need to fully address this issue. We don't have an animal control officer in the city of Sylvania. If we were licensing cats and treating unlicensed cats like the county treats unlicensed dogs, that would likely address the problem relatively quickly. I don't think we're prepared to do that. I don't think we're, I think you had asked me about Mike Miller. Mike Miller, the guy who sent the email?
Yes.
He called me out of the blue. Okay. He's from a small town in Indiana that had this issue. You'll recall he proposed number of long-term solutions, including mandatory spay-neuter laws, licensing, and animal control, an animal control officer, leash laws for cats, a number of things. He also supplied, and I talked to him about his background in this, and he has invested a lot of time in researching mm-hmm. this issue. Mm-hmm. And he shared a lot of that, and I think I shared with all of you some of the resources that he came across in researching the issue. At the end of the day, I think this is a step in the right direction. I don't think it's not a solution. It's a little bit of a common sense response to a problem, and I think I certainly encourage the volunteer efforts of Humane Ohio and others to take additional steps as they think appropriate. And but I'm not sure we have a lot of resources for this.
But I think that I absolutely agree with you that this is an important piece of a holistic approach. But I don't think that without creating some sort of sanction or liaison or support for Humane Ohio or the Humane Society of the United States, it's going to work. I mean, we just can't expect a group of citizens without some help from our city administration to come in and start doing their thing here. You know, there needs to be some coordination. There needs to be some coordination with the law enforcement officers, right? I think that there needs to be, we just can't passively sit by and hope that there's an effective spay-neuter program put in place in this community. I think we have a responsibility. As we assume responsibility for this, which we're all going to, those folks who support it, we also need to create responsibility for ourselves to incorporate a spay-neuter program with that. So I'm not disagreeing. I think this is a good element of a comprehensive program.
Thank Thank you. I also think that one of the things that we really tried to focus on as we looked at this legislation was that we were putting in place something that would be of the to the benefit of the greater community. We're really trying to not focus on any particular situation, any particular person, but in fact put in place legislation that allowed us to support the safety of our constituents and of our community members. And I think, again, just to reiterate your position, Doug, no person shall keep or harbor any animal or fowl in the municipality so as to create noxious or offensive odors on sanitary conditions which are a menace to the health, comfort, or safety of the public. I think that's the core meat of what we're trying to accomplish. We're not trying to isolate any particular incident. We're just trying to address the bigger problem. So.
Well, Mary, I would move that we recommend adoption of this ordinance to the entire council.
I'll second it.
The motion has been moved and seconded. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Same sign. Any abstentions? Motion passes as presented. And this will then be advanced to our city council meeting on Monday, July 21st. Any other business to come before the safety committee at this time? Hearing none, this meeting is adjourned at 8:35. Thank you all for your time.